It's Morning Edition. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Former Rhode Island House Speaker Gordon Fox has pleaded guilty to federal corruption charges for bribery, misuse of campaign funds, and filing a false tax return. The guilty plea is part of a deal with prosecutors for a minimum 3-year prison sentence. Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst Scott McKay joins me now to tell us more about the charges. Scott, let's start with the personal use of campaign finance accounts.
This is something that is prohibited by law, and unfortunately in Fox's case, he was nailed for converting about $108,000 to his personal use. He paid his mortgage, he bought gifts, he paid off his personal credit cards. This is extremely verboten nowadays by state campaign finance laws, so he should have known better.
Gordon Fox has also admitted to taking a $52,000 bribe to help a Providence restaurant obtain a liquor license. Scott, what can you tell us about that situation?
Well, this goes back to 2008, and in some ways this is more troubling than the campaign finance allegations. Basically, what happened here is there is a bar called Shark on Thayer Street on the east side of Providence. And the east side neighbors in recent years think there's too many bars on Thayer Street. And they went before the Providence City Licensing Board and protested the awarding of a license to this establishment. Now, as vice chairman of that licensing board, Gordon Fox apparently wired for $52,000. He got them the license that the neighbors wished they did not get. So this is a very, very troubling situation.
And we should say that it overlaps with his time as Speaker of the House.
Well, the problem is, yes, I mean, he is the most powerful politician in the state house, with the possible exception of the governor. He was a veteran lawmaker. He'd been there 19 years, and obviously he knew better. He's a lawyer.
Scott, these charges and this guilty plea come after almost a year of speculation following twin raids on Fox's home and his state house office. We knew the state, federal, and IRS investigators were looking at Fox's campaign accounts, but is this the result you were expecting?
Yes, something like this. A lot of us expected this. You know, the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI in particular usually don't go on fishing expeditions against sitting political figures, particularly powerful ones. What usually happens, this happened in the Buddy Cianci case also, is that this has to be cleared by someone high up in the criminal division of the Justice Department in Washington.
Does it surprise you, though, that it didn't have anything to do, at least in the case of the bribery charge, with his role as Speaker?
Well, that's correct. This isn't like a Buddy Cianci situation where he's accused of running the Speaker's office as a criminal enterprise.
Scott, what kind of reaction are you hearing in political circles to the charges?
Well, there's a certain sadness here and sorrow, and people feel bad. I mean, Governor Raimondo, Lieutenant Governor McKee, Speaker Mattiello have all weighed in decrying this and saying that Rhode Island politicians have to wake up and make sure that they act in a way that's not above the law. They write the laws. They should obey them.
Gordon Fox faced the media after his arraignment in U.S. District Court in Providence. It was brief. He appeared close to tears at times and said he does feel remorseful. What can you tell us, Scott, about Fox's background and where he may have gotten off track?
He grew up as a mixed-race kid in a working-class community, Mount Hope, the neighborhood that he then went on to represent for so many years. At the State House, he was the first African-American to become Speaker of the House and the first openly gay speaker in the country. And he was known at the State House as being a hardworking lawmaker. He, of course, was very crucial in ushering through the legislature the gay marriage bill. He subsequently married his partner, Marcus LaFond. It appears that what happened to him was that he was living above his means. People were wondering how a guy without a very active law practice who spent so much time at the legislature and was only making $28,000 a year as the speaker, and his partner, husband now, Marcus LaFond, is a hairdresser driving two late model Audis in your driveway, living in a house assessed at like $600,000 or more, be putting in new kitchens, living very well at the downtown restaurants. So I think it's a simple case of a guy living beyond his means. The other thing he did was break what I call the iron, albeit unwritten, rule of the State House, which is don't take a dime while you serve, and cash in when it's done. You know, wait the 1 year revolving door provision, adhere to that, and then hang up a shingle as a lobbyist and use all that knowledge you have of the legislative process, use all the connections you've made over the years. You only have to look at the most successful lobbyists in this state. You know, Bobby Goldberg, Joe Walsh, people like that, Bill Murphy now, the former House Speaker, who, ironically, was Fox's criminal attorney. All these folks are lobbyists at the State House, and they're making thousands of dollars for lobbying, which is perfectly legal.
In your view, Scott, how serious are these charges against Gordon Fox in light of other state politicians who've also faced corruption charges?
Well, the bribery charge is frankly astounding. I was surprised. That's the one thing that does surprise me. That's a pretty serious charge. And it's not just a pittance of money. Unlike, say, Buddy Cianci, again, he wasn't accused of running his office as a criminal enterprise. He wasn't accused, like Brian Serrault, the former Pawtucket mayor, of taking direct kickbacks. But nonetheless, this is fairly serious stuff for someone who is the Speaker of the House.
Given that he was such a powerful state House politician, is there more here? Does this call into question anything else about Fox's actions at the state House? I mean, Common Cause, when I spoke to John Marion, the head of Common Cause, he mentioned that we still don't know what launched this investigation, what other issues they may have been looking into.
Well, we don't know that at this point. At some point, he's going to be sentenced in June. We may get to unseal and look at some of the stuff. The search warrants were under seal for a long time, for instance, and there may be some evidence that comes out. But what we know is what we already have on the Speaker, and it's no longer a question of his guilt. He has, again, admitted in public and in court that he did these things, and this is fairly serious.
John Marion of Common Cause says this points to the need for better oversight of campaign finance accounts, and it's an issue that came up just a couple of weeks ago when charges were filed against State Representative Joe Almeida for converting campaign funds for personal use. What do you think the state needs to do, Scott, to reduce this type of public corruption?
Well, an immediate thing that could be done is you need to audit in a random fashion campaign finance reports. Rhode Island does that only sporadically, and it would be very smart to put every political figure in this state on notice, just like it is with the IRS, that if you're going to be out there cheating on your campaign finance reports, you could get audited. The other thing, I think there'll be a renewed discussion, I believe, at the Capitol about whether or not we should reinstate State Ethics Commission oversight of lawmakers. That was thrown out years ago in the Bill Irons case by the state Supreme Court. And every session, there's a debate about it, but in no session recently has the House and the Senate, both in the same year, passed and sent to the governor's desk this provision.
Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
I'm Elizabeth Harrison. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.